Would you take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The book of 1 Corinthians really shows up that no matter what our problems are, particularly in a church, that Jesus Christ is the theme and is the answer. When I stop and think and bring Jesus into every situation, He is the answer to every situation in life. And the Corinthian church certainly had a lot of those difficulties, especially in chapter 12, as they were dealing with disunity in the church, particularly in how people exercised their spiritual gifts, why they did and how they did what they did, and their interaction with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's begin our reading at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In other words, basically, our bodies have not all eyeballs, not all ears, not all toes, not all fingers or arms or legs, torsos. It's various body parts, and so it is in the body of Christ. There are various functioning members there. Look at the next verse, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now, I have to clarify, the word baptism there isn't speaking of water baptism. It's saying that when God saved us, He immediately associated us with Jesus, with Jesus' body, the body of Christ, His church. So when you see the word baptized, think associated or identified with into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. That's obvious. We have lots of body parts, and so it is with the body of Christ. We have different people in here. We're not all going to be the same or thinking the exact same. Verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Obviously. And the issue that he's dealing with, particularly and going to be getting in chapter 14, is speaking in tongues. And as you can see the illustration, what would you imagine if there were one great big tongue come lolloping in the back doors there and lolloping in and then sit in a pew there? That is a monstrosity, is what that is. It's a monstrosity to have one whole eyeball, right? They had that Disney film or Pixar film some years ago, Monsters, Inc., in which there's Mike Wazowski, right, who really is just one great big eyeball. And he is a monster. That is a monstrosity. And dear friends, we understand that in the physical realm. It is that way in the spiritual realm, in the church as well. There are going to be those of us who are not going to be thinking the same, acting the same, having the same background. God places different people in the same body. But there's still got to be a unity that's there. Look at verse 15. Well, pardon me, we read that. Verse 20. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You need your big toes. Now, not many of you are showing your big toes here this morning, but we need those and that ball joint that's there in order for you to be able to stand up well. So, those members which seem to be weaker are necessary, and so it is in the body of Christ, the church. those people which seem to be weaker and struggling, they are just as necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. What he's saying there, there are certain of my body parts, and those of us who understand what modesty is, it's covering up, and those body parts are necessary for us, but we place honor on them by covering them up. But those that are more presentable, we don't have to keep covered. My wife tells me I look much better in a beard, so I guess I am covering that up to some degree, so maybe there is some unpresentableness in the face. In the middle of verse 24 there, it says, but God composed the body of Jesus, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it, weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and you are members, you all are members of that body individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do you all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret it? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and there is a more excellent way. What is that more excellent way? It's in 1 Corinthians 13. I haven't met very many charismatic people who have said what this one person who was selling funeral plots said at my kitchen table one day in the evening time. He was on the side pastoring a church, charismatic in background, speaking in tongues and the healings, which I'm not completely opposing or downing. But as he sat there, he said that in his church, they emphasize 1 Corinthians 13 stronger and harder than any of the gifts that are out there, because the point of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is practicing 1 Corinthians 13. When we went through Romans 12 a few years ago, it says there that the illustration of the body again, what is the glue that holds all of these differing body parts together in the church? There are prophets, those who see things more black and white. There are those who are more merciful, more servant-like, and are ready to weep with those who weep and want to help and bring care and compassion there. My question is, what is the glue that holds those totally different personalities together, or that should be in a church? It is the bond of love that should be there. We should be focusing upon that. The poet said a number of years ago that a picture is worth 1,000 words. We have been looking ever since this year at our purposes in life as individuals and as a church. And today we're looking at 4 pictures, briefly, of the church in the New Testament. Some of us are visual learners. And for those of us who are visual learners, hopefully these pictures will stick in our mind of how we should be interacting with one another. The first picture is found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that is that of a body. We are a body. And in verses 12 to 26, Jesus made the unified body, this diversified body, a unity. There is a diversity here, but there's to be a unity. And the illustration, I like that. It said earlier, the head should not say of another body part, I have no need of you. But there should be mutual care for it. A number of years ago, we had a fellow here in our church, Bob Clater, who had, a number of you remember him, he had one bone in his foot that went rebel to the rest of his body. And his whole body was affected with care and concern and attention on this particular thing. Dear friends, that should be the same response of us, that if there is one member that is having difficulty, there should be, oh, okay, well, I don't care. Let's just cut my foot off. No, that is a last resort in which I am completely ignoring the situation and not going to deal with it. But I want to give it my attention and take care of it. Say, boy, that sounds great. That's exactly what should be happening here. Yes, everyone else should be doing that to me. That's so easy to have that mentality, isn't it? But dear friends, I promise you, if we as individuals are being the kind of members that we should be, if we would be the people who get up and take action in showing care and concern, rejoicing and joy, as well as sorrow and compassion with those around us, everyone will get watered and no one will be left dry. I can tell you this, though, whenever a person begins to draw back and to back away and begins to be in a mentality, no one's ministering to me, no one's reaching out to me, no one cares or concerns, there's a judgmentalism that begins to look there, and then there's a bitterness that begins to set in, and that person is going to very soon be on a very slippery, slippery slope. Jesus wants our body, verses 14 to 26, to be harmonious, even though we are different from one another. And the application in verses 27 to 31, Jesus wants to use us. Question, are you at use in the body of Christ here? Now, you say, well, I'm here today. I gave money. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. I'm here today and I sang. Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. I'm here today and I shook hands and I smiled at a few people. That's wonderful. Great. Good for you. Really, that's a wonderful job. There's a couple of other things that could be done in your reaching out to be a blessing to other people. I guess I'm asking, there are other opportunities to serve. I've mentioned it before concerning ushers. We just pull them out. Are you willing to pass the plate, some of you men, as far as reading scripture, praying up here? The sound booth back there. We need helpers who can help and just sit in the children's churches. We have so many children here. Praise the Lord for that. We have had to split our children's churches up. We have over 50 children just in children's church. And that's not counting the twos and the threes that are down there. That's a totally separate department. And sometimes you can ask Kelly Sarbacker, sometimes, and the other teachers who are in there. There's a lot of twos and threes, and that's not the nursery. There's a lot of folks downstairs, and we could use your help one Sunday a month or one Sunday every 6 weeks, something like that. Would you be willing to be helped and served that way? It would be a wonderful thing. If you're interested in any of those, please let us know. But the point is this. You should be serving in some way and serving in a way that God has gifted you. Not everyone is going to be a teacher. We have to admit that, right? Not everyone is necessarily going to love babies. Think of Pastor Jesse Boyd. His picture's in my office. Got an 8x10 of him. He didn't necessarily care and love babies. His granddaughter had a baby one time, and he announced this child's birth, and he says, I guess the boy is kind of good-looking as far as babies go. His heart wasn't necessarily attached to babies. Not everyone's heart is going to be attached to the nursery. That's okay. That's understandable. But are you willing to participate and be involved in some way in this body? Wouldn't it be awful to have my finger rebel and say, I am not going to function. I don't think the rest of this body appreciates how I am. Therefore, I am not going to function with the rest of the body. Can you imagine the things if it just stood out straight there? How difficult it would be to grasp certain things, my body would not be able to function as it was intended and designed by God to do. So it is. If someone here is not actively involved with the rest, this body will not be functioning and acting as God intended it to do. As a matter of fact, it will not be helped it will be hindered greatly in the long run. Perhaps spreading joy, just a smile, would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Friends, there are people, and I've mentioned this before, please, they say sometimes, watch what a preacher mentions a lot, and that could be some of his biggest struggles. I know I've mentioned about bars a lot. I grew up in a bar. I don't struggle with alcohol. You can ask my wife and my children. Praise the Lord, I've got lots of other struggles in my life. But I'm going to mention the bar again. There are lots of people in this world who struggle, and they are down at Goldie's right now, not necessarily only because they struggle with alcohol, but they headed into alcohol because they were looking to be known by someone, to be cared by someone, to be loved by someone, and to be loving and knowing someone else. Yes, the bar is counterfeit. They dispense liquor instead of God's grace. They dispense escape instead of reality. But there's a lot of camaraderie down there at Goldie's. I haven't been in there, okay? But I'm saying any bar. There's a permissiveness to a certain degree that is there among all the people. There is an acceptance with people. Anyone can come in, be willing to accept them. There's an inclusive spirit that is there among the folks. Folks are willing to be workable with one another, and they are unshockable. Something could happen, that's okay, and they'll slap one another on the back. They keep secrets to a certain degree because there is a desire to be known and to know, to love and to be loved. The church should operate in many ways that way. It should. I've mentioned so many, 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 many times. I want this place to be a hospital for sinners like Aaron Young, not a museum of saints. This is not to be a museum. This is a hospital for all of us. There may be some people here this morning that you saw, I don't know, that you may think, oh, they don't fit in here. Or, oh, boy, I can tell they're struggling. Did you go up to them? Did you stick out your hand and smile at them? Did you give a warmth and an acceptance and an inclusiveness in your attitude and in your persona to want to include them in? Well, I don't know if they genuinely know Jesus or not. Well, why not spread the love of Jesus? Have you done that? We are to be a body that functions with one another and functions and reaches out to others as well. We're to let Jesus use us. But that's just the body. That's one of four. You're in 1 Corinthians. Would you turn back to chapter 3? Chapter 3. Obviously, these aren't thoroughly expositional messages. There's a whole lot in these passages which years ago, about 8 years ago, we preached and went through in depth before. Just reminding us, we are a body. And now the illustration that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verses 10 through 17. We should really include verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. And here it is. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Paul says, I laid the foundation for this church in Corinth. I was there. I planted the church. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the main foundation. The teaching of Jesus is the foundation. But I'm not there right now, and another is building on that foundation. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. In other words, dear friends, how we are treating this building. And I'm not talking about the brick and the mortar. I praise the Lord. I just had this past week some other people who were in our building for the first time in the last couple of weeks come up to me and say, man, what a beautiful, beautiful building. Thank you. And I greatly appreciate your involvement in that, as well as the master workman and his design for all of that. I'm not talking about this building here that I'm pointing at. I'm talking about the people here. The Bible says that we are God's building. Now let's relate it. Because we need to take heed how we build on it. God tests how we build. Verse 11, no other foundation can any lay than that which is laid. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation and the chief cornerstone, the teaching of Jesus. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What's gold, silver, precious stones? It's things that last. When I'm speaking well of one another, when I'm treating someone with respect, even though their actions may not dictate respect, even though they may not merit my respect, still as a child of God, and they are a child of God, I am going to give them respect. And I'm going to speak well to them. Four T's. I'm going to think well about them. I'm going to talk well to them. I'm going to talk well about them. And I'm going to treat them well. That is gold, silver, precious stones, and having right doctrine here as well. But there's also wood, hay, and straw. That's building on the foundation here among us with some pretty inferior elements that won't last if a fire comes by. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each man's work, what sort it is. There are some of our friends in the religious realm that say this verse is proof that there is a purgatory. That is not so. It is speaking of a judgment day in which all of our works which are done with the right motive and in the right way for Jesus will last. All Christians, all of us, will stand before Him someday. It is not saying that because I have impurities, I have to go to a place called purgatory and be there for a few million years to get my impurities burnt out. I'm here to tell you. If I had to go to purgatory to get Aaron Young's impurities burnt out of him, I would be there a very, very, very long time. Question. When Jesus died on the cross for His people, how much sin did He take care of? 10%? A tithe? He took care of a tithe? How much sin did Jesus take care of? He took care of all of it. Past, present, future, what a wonderful thing. That's one of the greatest things in the world. Do you know Jesus? Have you experienced that forgiveness? Back to the text here. We are all going to stand as Christians before the Lord someday, and we're going to be judged for the works that we do for Him. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? You. That's you plural in Greek. You all. Don't you know you all are God's building, God's temple? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you all? Do you realize something? Right now, you all are here, God's building. Whether we have this beautiful building or not, I'm thankful for this beautiful building. But whether this building were here or not, and we were meeting out in the parking lot, God's building is here. And God's Holy Spirit is right here with us as well. Look at verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, he's not talking about the building, he's talking about us. If anyone mars this body, if anyone treats with disrespect and adds wood, hay, and stubble in this building here, if anyone mars this body, God will mar that man. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. God tests our building materials, and God mars, though God cares about His church so much. If anyone does anything that is damaging to it, God is going to mar that individual. So don't tear this church up. Don't be divisive. I don't think that we struggle with that. But don't be divisive. Don't have debauched behavior. Don't have false doctrine. Because God says He will wreck the church wrecker. We have to keep going. We are a body and we are a building. But let's relate that now. Can you think of any body part that would say, I've used this illustration before, you know what? I don't like being a part of this body. I think I want to go be a part of this body. So, I get a meat cleaver and I cut my arm off, and I'm not the guy who got trapped by the boulder in there in southern Utah. I cut my arm off and I want to go lollop down and sew myself onto another body. That's Frankenstein. That's another monster, isn't it? It is. Dear friends, we are to be loyal to that particular body, as well as the building. It would not be good to have bricks in a building in which the brick says, you know what, I don't like it here. I want to go over here to Quail Circle, and I want to join myself over here to someone else's house. They've got a really nice house over here. I don't like this house anymore. I'm going to go over here. Boy, if that happened very much, the whole thing's going to collapse, right? It sure would. And obviously, there shouldn't be any disintegration in the individual bricks in a building. If they deteriorate, the whole suffers as a result. We are a body. May God help us to function as a body. We are a building. May we function strong with strong bricks as the building God made us to be. And the next one is found in 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's another B word. I'm trying to keep these alliterative. There are four of them so that we can remember them. The word church, we are the called out ones, of which Jesus is the convener of the convention. The word church is literally the called out ones. Jesus has called us. But we are his body, of which Jesus is the head. We are the building, of which Jesus is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we are also the brotherhood, of which the Father is the Father of us all, and Jesus, our oldest brother. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Look around. You see an older man here, older than you are? He is to be treated like a father by you. Younger men as brothers. Verse 2, older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters with all purity in all of those relationships. It's very interesting, I think, that God puts there, make sure that you have these relationships with all purity. I'm going to get very specific concerning this. But it is easy in church relationships for there to be some inappropriate relationships going on. Yes, there is love that goes on, but sometimes that love can spill over into lust. And we're to be careful and guarded that in these relationships inside the church, we are to be watching it oh so carefully. Teenagers, can I speak with you for just a moment? And those of you who are not married, who would like to get married someday, if you'd like to get married, head toward marriage. Head toward marriage and go where the pickings are good. Can I tell you that? Go somewhere where you're probably going to find someone that's out there. Now, yes, God can send someone your way. And we can trust him. But also, that doesn't mean while I'm on the island of Diego Garcia, when I have opportunity to go to mainland or somewhere else and look for someone, that I don't take opportunity for it. So, go where the pickings are good. It would make sense, and trust God in the midst of that. But in your relationships, I counsel many, many couples, Christian couples, good Christian couples. They're running through my mind the number of couples right now. Fantastic Christian couples who served the Lord before they were married, are serving the Lord after they were married. But before they were married, they were inappropriate with one another greatly. What is one of the things that's going to help you realize that? If I have this girl here, why in the world would I want to stick my tongue in my sister's mouth? Right? I don't mean to be unnecessarily shocking, but that's the way it's supposed to be. I am to treat this young lady as a sister. She's a sister. I don't do that with a sister. I don't do that with a brother. And if I'm greatly tempted that way, or perhaps I've messed up, what do? I put up other safeguards so that I am not tempted greatly that way. We are brothers and sisters here, fathers, mothers, and we're to be treating each other in this brotherhood in that kind of relationship. Look at chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the same thing that is mentioned there. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brothers. My employer, he's a Christian? He's a brother then. Don't despise your employer just because he's a brother. That means you ought to be working just as hard, if not harder, for him because you're a Christian and he's a Christian. Let Jesus' light shine, but the rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Teach and exhort what things? The things I just said. We are brothers, we are sisters. We're to be looking at one another with loyalty in this family. How do we interact? I'll tell you. How we interact with our respect for one another and how we treat one another in our thinking, in our attitudes, how we do that shows people something. It shows the unsaved world what Christianity is like. As unsaved people look at you, how do they perceive Christianity? Jesus said, they will know you're Christians not by your separated stance. They'll know you're Christians not by the kind of music you listen to. They'll know you're Christians not by if you carry a Jerry Falwell God Save America Bible and hit people over the head with it. He didn't say they'll know you're Christians by any other way, by your effective evangelism, or how much you can look and act and be exactly like and talk like the world. There are some churches that are acting that way. Jesus said they will know you are Christians by one main thing, and I'm not downing any of the other things I've just mentioned, but the primary thing is our love and consideration one for another. It is what's in families, and sometimes in families we have to get down and dirty with one another as far as telling them exactly how the cow ate the cabbage. No, you're not going to do that. You brothers and sisters, you've done that before, right, in your families? I don't know if any of you, are any of you from an Italian background? Okay, a few. Okay, yes. All right, wonderful. I don't know if any of you have had the privilege of being and going to an all-Italian family get-together. It is an experience. I'll tell you what. It is almost like, in some ways, now, and I'm certainly not trying to be derogatory to anyone here, or be racist. Please don't think that way. It's almost like being at an all-Jewish get-together. The families get right in each other's face and they tell each other just exactly what they're thinking, and they don't care whether the spaghetti's going on the mouth or the meatballs are dropping. They'll just tell you exactly what they think all the time. Interestingly, I don't know if any of you are from a Scottish background or perhaps some Irish background. Okay, a little bit. I see some hands going up on all of these. You've got a mixture of all. In Scotland, everything is loyalty to the clan, right? I know the members of my clan, they may have done this in the past and they're wrong, but you don't, even though they did that, you don't dare backtalk them. You don't dare mistreat them. Everything is loyalty to the clan. And one thing you know, if you go to any Italian get-together, they're at the family, they're going to be talking perhaps straight to each other. But outside, if anyone mocks any of them, they are all ready for a fight and they're going to defend the family unity. There is a loyalty that is generated there. So, let me ask you, are you loyal to the family? Sometimes our love for one another has to be expressed in, you know what, I don't understand what's going on. Why is this happening? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. Make sure that if you say things like that, that you've put in lots of great thing and lots of praises. Do you notice all the times in the Word of God how God says overwhelmingly encouraging things? Even in the prophets, where he is scathing the people for doing wrong, there's always great encouragement that is there. In the book of Isaiah, a book of woe, half the book is great and encouragement. Isaiah chapter 40, he also says in chapter 39, I'm going to take all your sins and put them behind my back. He says in chapter 49, can a woman forget her child? Yes, maybe some women can, but I promise you, I'll never forget you. I'll never be disloyal to you. We are a brotherhood that is to be focused and loyal to each other. Reminded of, I think a number of years ago, the children were outside in the backyard and there was yelling and screaming going on, and then it got escalated, and then come to find out, ask them, what in the world's going on? Oh, we're just playing church, Dad. That shouldn't be going on. Even if someone yells, I need to be treating with respect. Alfred Joyce Kilmer wrote a little two-verse poem, and the first verse is a kicker. The second one even hits us where we live. Whenever I walk through Asia along the harbor blue, I go by a great big church house with its people strong and true. I suppose I've passed it 100 times, but today I stopped for a minute and looked at that church, that tragic church, the church with no love for me in it. Whenever I walk through the Southland, along the Fullerton track, I go by a big congregation with its cars parked in front and back. I suppose I've passed 100 times, but today I stopped for a minute, and I looked in that church with its thousands of folks, the church needing my love within it. Dear friends, it needs all of us working together in this brotherhood to put it together. And lastly, in Ephesians chapter 5, we could turn to Ephesians 2. There's the reference there to the building as well. We don't have the time for that, but in Ephesians chapter 5, a lot of you know exactly what we're going to say concerning this. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought husbands to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. We are to be a body with all of the members functioning with one another in a unified whole. Yes, we are a diversity. There's different thoughts, different backgrounds, but we are to be functioning together. We are a building, and a building has different parts. Some is the plumbing in the basement. Some is the nice brilliant cross on the front of it. Some is the little steeple. Some is the heating unit. But we're a building in which we're all to function together as a unified whole, though we're different. We are a brotherhood, different members of the family, different backgrounds, different experiences, but we're to function together. And lastly, we are a bride of which Jesus is the groom. Do you know Jesus? Have you been accepted into the beloved? Can I put it that way? Are you part of his bride? In other words, let me ask this question. If you were to die, do you know for sure that you would be welcomed into heaven with all sins completely forgiven? If you don't know that for sure, we'd invite you to come. We can think of nothing better to do than to show you from the Bible how you can know everything taken care of, squared up with you and God. That's the most important thing. But dear friends, we are his bride, and collectively working together, we're to be holy. We're to do right. And we're to be holy and functioning together. How do we deal with other churches? I really believe that these things there in Ephesians as well as in Corinthians is speaking of the local church. This is Grace Baptist Church, this local church. I wasn't here almost 27 years ago when this church was started in Carlin, but for some reason, God established it. It was established in the building built before I ever got here. It means that God wants us here in addition to some other churches that are believing and preaching the gospel. We're not exactly like them. Can I also say there are some other churches, so-called, that do not believe and preach the true gospel? And we're not to have anything to do with that. We're to be kind and friendly and gracious to those folks, sharing with them Jesus Christ and the truth. But there are those who don't know. But there are other churches who do know and believe and preach the truth. We're not empire building here. We're not out to build an empire. But God has established us. Are you willing to be part of that body and function as that part, your part? Are you willing to function as your brick is supposed to function in this building? Are you going to function as the brother or sister that we all need in our family here? Are we all going to work together and be the pleasing bride of Jesus Christ? How do we deal with the other folks around us? In just a moment, we're going to end. Are you willing to smile at someone? Genuinely? Are you willing to stick out your hand? Say, hey, I know I've asked this for 3 Sundays and I keep forgetting your name. I'm sorry. Please tell me your name again. What is it? It's okay. We're giving a pass this Sunday. A pass on that. You are free to ask that question to anyone. What was your name again? What else do we do? We ask a few other basic questions. Now, where do you work? Oh, yeah, well, I work. I used to work there, but I don't work there now, but here's where I am. Where do you live? Do you live in Spring Creek? You live in Elko? Where do you live? Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, I live not very far away from you. Some basic questions. And then next Sunday, invite them to sit with you. Or sometime this month, invite them to your house. Or invite to go out to lunch today with them. Friends, this is part of how a church operates. We are to be the body, the building, the brotherhood, and the bride. May God help us to be that which He wants us to be.